That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hey, what's up? David Scales here for the Surf Splendor Network. Welcome back to the show. I wanted to just let you know about the format of today's show. I'm going to lead off with a 3-minute interview with the CEO of the Surfrider Foundation, Chad Nelson, who just has some really important information to share with us about a cause that we can all get involved in. Then I'm going to launch into the main portion of the show, which is the heated debate, the face-off, the long-anticipated face-off between Ashton Goggins, editor at Stab Magazine, versus Chaz Smith of Beach Grit. So look forward to that. And then at the very, very end, after the outro of the show, I'm going to tack on an additional little epilogue, which I recorded when Chaz and Ashton entered the room together. There's just a little exchange there that I thought was worth listening to, but doesn't fit into the debate format. So stick around at the end of the show for that. Until then, here is Chad Nelson, and then immediately into the debate. Enjoy the show. All right, Chad Nelson, CEO of Surfrider Foundation, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good to have you back, actually.
Yes, that's true.
Second appearance, but we've been utilizing your quiet room as our home studio for the last couple of months, and so wanted to say thank you for that, firstly.
We're happy to do it.
And we always just kind of call to action for listeners to become a member of Surfrider Foundation, but I wanted to ask you are there any specific causes that are particularly relevant at this moment that we should illuminate for listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. This is, I think, arguably the biggest threat to sort of our oceans and surfing we've seen in decades, which is President Trump and the Secretary of the Interior, Zinke, proposed opening up 90% of U.S. waters to offshore drilling. So this is the whole East Coast, the eastern side of the Gulf, the whole West Coast. California hasn't had oil drilling, interest since the 80s, and the Arctic. So huge, huge threat and a huge overreach. So it's a big, big deal, big threat. It's a campaign that Surfrider's really focused on. If you go to our website right now, that's blacked out and says drilling is killing, and you can get all the information about the campaign. And controversially, they just, weirdly enough, they announced this plan. 4 days later, they take Florida and pull it off the map. Good news for Florida. Obviously, we want them to pull every state off the map. But clearly a politically sort of, showmanship, a sort of special favor to the governor, Rick Scott of Florida. He's running for Congress this year. So it seemed like political maneuvering. It was just really odd. It's got everyone scratching their heads. Now every other governor in every other state, Republican and Democrats, like, hey, how about us? We want off too.
But, is the implication that Trump has a lot of business interests and land holdings in Florida?
Yeah, I don't necessarily know if this was the direct motivation.
Of course,
but Mar-a-Lago is there too, and it's like, hey, we wanted to drill the ocean, but not in front of my place.
Right.
So, at the end of the day, if we can get a really massive mobilization of the public opposed to offshore drilling, I think that's how we stop it. Coastal communities have like everything to lose and nothing to gain. Coastal tourism and recreation, a much bigger industry than oil drilling and already established and a lot of jobs for a lot of people. So this whole idea of bringing sort of resources and jobs to these communities is not, I think, a really real argument.
Sure.
You know, we've already got a really thriving coastal tourism and recreation economy.
Absolutely.
Why mess with it?
Yeah.
So that's our big issue. Drilling is killing. If you go to our website, you can learn about how you can get involved as an individual. And I think anybody who surfs, loves the beach and the ocean should be invested in trying to help us stop this.
I think, yeah, it's incumbent upon us and
yeah.
them. So, okay, so surfrider.org.
Yep. Hey,
that's
thanks
where they
again.
Find it. Yeah,
yep,
absolutely.
Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks. Welcome to Surf Media Face Off 2018. To my right, we have Ashton Goggins representing StabMag.com. And to my left, we have Chas Smith representing BeachGrid.com. My role, David Scales, is as the moderator. I know both you guys personally. I patronize both of your websites. My goal here is to provide an unbiased platform for you both to express your views and then discuss your counterpoints. You will both be given equal time. Rules of conduct. I don't care about civility. I don't care about cursing, but we are at the Surfrider Foundation, so let's respect their office rules. I'll present the topic to a specific person. You will give your response. The other person will be allowed to retort, and then you'll be allowed to debate the topic until it's exhausted. I can silence your microphones if you're preventing the other person from communicating their point. Ashton, firstly, Stab Magazine is owned by Sam McIntosh. You are the editor, and you're here as a representative. Does Sam know you're here, and does he approve?
He doesn't care. He thinks it's pretty funny.
Okay, so I would take that as an approval.
Yeah.
Okay,
great.
Cool. So let's start with opening statements. There's no need to rebut each other's opening statement. I'll pull topics from each of your statement for the discussion. Just use this opening statement to state your purpose for being here. Ashton, you drove from further away. Why don't you go first?
I didn't prepare an opening monologue. But I'm here because I'm so excited to do this job. And it's been such a positive experience for me in so many ways. And I felt so supported at different times by different people. And that's always made sense to me. It's always felt like that's the spirit of this industry. You know, it's like at this point, we're all trying to make the best work that we can. And that's what I spend my time doing all day long.
Why come here to debate Chas?
Oh, because I want to ask more of Chas.
As a writer?
No, yeah, as a person, as a friend, as a guy who loves surfing, and as a, you know, a person who I think deep down has a moral compass that I relate to.
Very good. Chas, do you have an opening statement?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't prepare one either, but I'm...
Thanks, guys. I did all this prep work.
I'm here to shit on Stab, I think, firstly. But really, mostly, try to make some entertainment. The media landscape and media being a story, especially in this day and age, I really like. I know that most people don't like, but that's something that I find very enjoyable. And so I'm happy that Ashton came, and I want to rip his head off in debate.
Very good. Okay. First debate topic of discussion is Chas's mudslinging tactics. Ashton, what is your stance on Chas constantly criticizing Stab?
Bring it on. I mean, truly, I think that the people that go to your site still go to our site and look at our stuff, and they go to our site to, you know, to engage with what we do, which is, I think, very different from what you guys do. And rightfully so. I think that, you know, we're tasked with producing a certain type of material that's entertainment-based, but... we also have the budgets to do longer form features and to produce these big projects and to do real good for the surf industry that we all love and get behind, that I think is a noble pursuit. And that's what I'm proud to do every day.
Is there anybody at Stab who feels animosity about the way that Chas slings mud?
No, but I think that there's some young kids who looked up to you for a long time, who probably get their feelings hurt a little bit, but who more than anything, are just sort of disappointed in a way, because when you look up to somebody, in a weird way, you want to end up, in, to some degree, in a position like them. And I think it's a little bit depressing to think that if you pursue this sort of like path, that you end up a 41-year-old guy bitching about 23 and 24-year-old kids writing about surfboards and surfing and that stuff.
That's exactly where you do end up, though. That's the trouble. This is not a noble, surf journalism is not a noble pursuit. Yeah. You end up,
yeah, I think foolish. That you can say that, and you can drag the sort of conversation into that space as much as you can, which
I'm trying.
You're amazing at doing. It's incredible to watch. You know, like, you are truly one of the most clever motherfuckers that I've ever known. And me being here is case in point to that. Like, you fucking outsmarted me into sitting down here and letting you rip my head off, right? Mm-hmm. But no, I think that what it comes down to is just a matter of respect. You know what I mean? Like, you have to understand that those kids they're learning how to be writers doing this. And they got started writing for you and Derek's blog when you guys started it. And I think that's rad. I think it's a really unique opportunity for them to garner experience from you guys and learn a few things, some of which are not helpful for their jobs, that I've had to, like, you know, uneducate them from. Because it's not helpful, I honestly believe, to doing a good job at what they do. Because you have to admit to me that there is dishonesty in some of what you do, or disingenuous angles or approaches.
How do you mean?
Well, I mean that you are trying to get a rise out of people, and because of that, there is always going to be something disingenuous about it.
No, I think my passions bubble very close to the surface, and I pivot on a dime. But when I'm feeling something, when I'm angry about something, or up in arms about something, it's always genuine emotion coming out. Like, it's a genuine reaction to whatever the thing I'm reacting to, even if it blows over in 5 minutes. For those 5 minutes that I'm wailing on my keyboard, it's genuine.
Yeah, and it seems exhausting.
No, it's fun.
Is it?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's just who I am. But yeah. back to the kids. If kids look up and want to become a surf journalist, then part of what I would tell them is sharpen your elbows and go out looking for a black eye, because
Because
that's the way everyone else works. Like, political journalists, fashion journalists, every other field, they're out sparring and either digging for real truths or sparring with other media.
Can you give me some examples of these people that you look up to that you think do good work that it requires
Norman,
that sort of approach to where you're getting punched by people?
Norman Mailer stabbed his wife in the heart with a penknife. It's those kinds of guys, right? It's I mean, to me, it's Norman Mailer, Hunter Thompson, yeah. Tom Wolfe was less of a scrapper, but it's that generation of new journalists, to me, not that they became the story, is less interesting to me than the fact that they're out there scrapping, like, up one side and down the other. And I don't mean scrapping necessarily by physically fighting. But I mean, getting in the mix. Like, have you read, I just got a new Norman Mailer book that's absolutely incredible, where he basically takes on feminism.
You got a new Norman Mailer book.
I got it. It's new
Norman
to
Mailer,
me.
Norman Mailer died in, like, 2001.
No, he died not that long ago. But no. Anyhow, this book is new to me. But it's fantastic how he honestly goes after like 70s feminism in a brutal, bloody nose kind of way, which, that's entertainment to me. And that's what we're about. And
yeah, totally. Let's talk about that. So think about what he was bringing. Think about the subjects that he was taking on.
Sure.
He's taking on feminism, which, you know, that famous debate between him and Gore Vidal, where he punched
exactly.
him in the face, and Gore Vidal, what did he say?
Exactly.
Norman Mailer, again, is at a loss for words?
That's good. There's a video you can put on.
Yeah. That's fine. Dude, if you ever want to debate subjects that you feel are, you know, whatever, salacious or whatever, that's fine. I would love to if that's the approach that you want to take, let's do it the way that you've done it with Warshaw. I'll fucking sit and talk shit with you all day long. You know how much fun I'd have talking about that stuff? But that's not what you're doing.
What am I doing?
You're literally just trying to make Stab look bad because you have a personal vendetta against...
That's not true. I don't try to make Stab look bad. Stab makes itself look bad.
Oh, okay. I just... I just teed that up. That was beautiful. Yep.
Chaz, what's your objective with criticizing other media outlets and specifically Stab?
Okay, great. Thanks, David. to me, we live. I totally get that not everybody enjoys, you know, me going after the media, whether it's the inertia or Stab or whoever, right? It's boring to some people. To me, it's a lot of fun. When I wake up and I see something that, and I know I do it too much, and I know it's low-hanging fruit, and I go back to that branch time and time again. I criticize, you know, I should be doing other things besides that, but when a story is just sitting there on that branch, just hanging so low and so juicy, it's difficult for me not to just go grab it and take a big bite. And the reason I do it is, I guess, primarily because I'm entertained by it, and it makes me laugh sitting at home. When I first started writing for Stab, I think it was pre-internet, I mean, anything being online in any real way. And so I only wrote for my own pleasure, right? Because there was no reaction to it. I was in America writing for an Australian magazine. I wouldn't get the magazine for another 6 months or whatever after I wrote the piece. So writing became for me, you know, of course, telling stories and this, but a form of self-entertainment as much as anything else. And this is really entertaining for me when Stab does something or the inertia does something. Lately, I guess Stab has just been doing more things that I think are, they're easy to pick on, because I think Stab's, the way they approach, the magazine approaches advertorial, is disingenuous and it's not good. And I think
which I think is that's where your like completely skewed worldview comes into play with what you're writing about, I think.
But I just think it's bad advertorial.
Totally. I mean, I've listened, because David, you know, I very much love David, and I'm very excited that he's got you on the podcast, because I think it builds up his audience and brings new people in, and it's rad. And so I've listened a few times, and I hear you come on here and just spout total fucking nonsense.
About what, though?
I mean, the bad advertorial thing, I know it's a very clever jab, and that's fine. It's like, you know, like it is what it is. You can make fun of stuff, but
It's just bad advertorial. But,
all right, so we pay the bills by having advertisers come and give us money.
I get it.
To produce content or to syndicate content. That is the business model that surf magazines work on.
Sure.
I don't know how you pay your bills. Your wife, I know, is the breadwinner. She pays most of your bills. You probably have to do things for your wife that probably not your favorite things to do. You probably have to go to the grocery store and buy shit that you don't want to go buy and go deal with people that, you know, you'd rather probably just sit at home and do exactly what you want.
That's not true. I like going to the grocery store.
Would you rather have somebody do it for you?
No, I honestly
give me a fucking break. Okay, if you want, that's fine. Of course, we would absolutely love for Stab Magazine to be a pure magazine that's run by user, you know, support.
I'm not saying that
everybody wants to be NPR.
I'm not saying that we're not. You think Beach Grit is NPR? Beach Grit is not. I love advertising.
I do not think that Beach Grit is NPR. And I think that Beach Grit's advertising model has an amazing potential that you guys could take advantage of if you guys weren't such dicks and didn't seem like you guys would be real pricks to work with. And I think that's a real bummer for you guys, because you guys take low blows that cut into your potential. Because you and Derek are fucking smart guys.
But that's
not. You guys are great writers, and people really love what you have to say. But you guys get in your own way constantly.
I think, I completely disagree, and think when we do advertorial.
You've written two posts about, let's talk about the Oakley Prism thing.
That was good.
Totally. We put out a surf clip, okay?
It had a filter.
No, it was so bad. It was terrible. Two waves of Julian Wilson in one clip, and two waves of fucking was it Ethan Ewing?
Yeah, but the writing and everything was terrible.
No, the writing was very, very transparent plug for what we were doing and what they were selling.
It was glad handy. It was glad handy. Totally, completely denigrating your own audience, like treating your own audience. And that's really what I think bothers me most about Stab.
Did you go and look at Oakley's site after when you clicked on it, when you were going to look at the Prism stuff?
Because
you were
like,
no, please. Yes, you did. You went.
You think I went to Oakley's website from that horrible advertorial? No, what would have driven me there?
Oh, give me a break. I mean, what you can sit here and look me in the eye and say that to go and look at what we were talking about, you didn't go and reference it.
You had the video on your site.
So then you don't know what
you're
talking about. You don't know what product that they are seeing.
I know. You're right. It's a prism lens. You talked about it. I read your thing. Why? Anyway, if you're doing good advertorial, why am I going to have to go somewhere else? Like, it should have been a one-stop shop for me, right? I should have wanted to buy the glass at the end of that.
We don't sell stuff. Why would we be a one-stop shop? In what media landscape is there a one-stop shop?
What are you talking about?
You have to go click on something to go to another site.
You used to be a one-stop shop.
Yeah, there's a massive modifier in there that's a big deal, which was something that's been frustrating to me. Is because when I came on board, when Sam bought the company back, I got such lovely notes from you and Derek.
Totally, I was
stoked
proud.
For you, man. You know, it's going to be real hard for us. Smartest decision Sam ever made since starting the magazine.
100%.
That's what Derek said to me.
Well, that's I wrote that to Sam.
Yeah, oh, that's great. What we've done, the stuff that the editorial work
is gone. It's gone, Ashton. It's gone into
you've
the ground.
You literally
under
called
your
me and said,
"Not since."
And
not
said,
since
Stab's got its swagger back. Day one,
you did pretty good. It started well, and it's gone into a horrible pit.
Give me a break, dude. We had an interview with Kelly Slater in between fucking Christmas and New Year's when there was no one doing anything. We put out 16 films with Vans mining the Triple Crown for trivia that people found super fucking interesting. We got over between all of the views, we got 3 million clicks for that project.
Uh-oh.
We got...
Don't bring up numbers.
Give me a break. We had Kelly Slater commenting on stuff going, great story. People were psyched on stuff that we were doing. We launched a podcast with Shane Dorian and Nathan Webster that you went to go shit on without even having listened to on the podcast.
Did I?
I don't remember. I mean, we talked about it. I just don't remember what our stance was. But let me interject real quickly. Chaz, you said that your objective here is basically to rip apart Stab. Is there any concern that all of your discussion is only driving traffic to their website?
I don't care. I link Stab every... I hope people go to see Stab from Beach Grit, right? Like, I link every single story. I litter links throughout every story I put on. I don't think that, you know, I think that in Stab's model, I think part of the, and I know in talking to Zach Weisberg, the inertia's model is you don't talk about others because you want to keep people inside, right? Which it feels like that's true about Stab too. You don't want to link out, you want people there. I have no problem sending people everywhere because I believe in what the Beach Grit voice, I think is what it is, right? Whether you like it or dislike it. So I don't care if somebody, I want people to go see other stuff. I want them to go to the inertia. I want them to go to Stab. I want them to go to every single surf media out there. Like, we're all part of this world, right? And it's not a zero-sum game. One click for Stab doesn't mean, you know, minus one click for Beach Grit.
Okay, follow-up question. Chaz, are you concerned that your tactics in small doses, they might be tolerated, but in excess, they might leave you isolated from not only your target, but also potential advertisers and your very readership? Adam, a commenter on Beach Grit, wrote, quote, "This contrived war between Chaz and other mags/sites is boring and frankly a total flogfest by Chaz. Really, Chaz, are you so bereft of ideas that you think anybody outside you is interested in your little war of words with some other wanker that writes surf columns?"
Exactly. And I totally understand Adam's position. But go back to first.
Exactly. Here's the pivot. No, I love it. This is so fun.
I totally understand. I totally understand that Adam, amongst probably a handful of others, many others even, don't enjoy this spectacle, right? They don't enjoy this media war. I, on the other hand, am getting a massive kick out of this. And once again, I can try to write for some, you know, straw man that I don't really know to write for some vague audience that I'm semi unfamiliar with. But I do that, you know, I mean, I try to write stuff that people will enjoy, but I also have to write for myself. And I think it's really funny. And as long as I think it's really funny, I'll keep doing it. That's part one. Part two, I think Adam misses the point that never before in my lifetime, at least, has the media itself been such a story, right? So whether you look at Trump's war against the media or whether you look at media outlets' wars against each other, today it's, you know, CNN versus Fox News or whatever.
But do you enjoy that?
I love it.
Why?
Because it's fun.
Doesn't the world feel fucked up right now?
No.
You're, give me a break, Chaz.
To me...
All right, so listen.
I'm not done. Hey, hold on.
Go for it.
Today we have CNN versus Fox News, right? Or Trump versus CNN or whatever, or fake news. back in Watergate era, we had the New York Times versus the Washington Post. And of course, they were covering a real thing, right? They were sparring over Watergate and this, that, and the other thing, but they were trying to beat each other to this thing, and they would beat each other up in the process. Before that, we had the beautiful day of yellow journalism, where the newspapers would print just straight lies and started a whole war in trying to beat each other up. To me, this is super entertaining, and I get that it's not entertaining to everybody. To me, it's funny, and not only is it funny, it is the zeitgeist of the time. Not only that, I think my criticisms against surf media are, especially the inertia and Stab, who I go after most, are completely valid.
Okay, so this week, how many pieces did you write about the Quicksilver thing?
Oh, I think I got to day five before I bored myself.
Okay, and so that was directed at us.
Yep.
Specifically. Because it's a surf story that didn't get told.
Exactly.
Okay. Surfer didn't write about it. Yep. Surfline didn't write about it.
Great.
Okay. So those are surf media outlets that you can engage with and tear apart and try and pull them into this conversation, but you don't. Why don't you pull Surfer Magazine into anymore?
I do from time. I mean,
no,
I,
you don't. You haven't since you started that column because you bent over and jumped on whatever.
That's not true.
What do you mean? You jumped on whatever meager slice of that of the Enthusiast Network's pie that you could get.
The moment I
left, you slipped in. It was amazing to watch. I got a text message from Michael Cimarella with your screen grab that said, checkmate with your the Weekly Grit. It's been what?
What's the Weekly Grit?
Wasn't that what you were doing for Surfer Magazine?
Oh,
did you forget the name of your own column?
Yeah, it was the Weekly Grit, huh? I can't remember the name of the column.
And then you immediately, I know that Todd and I have our disagreements, and that's fine. You know, like Todd is the leader of Surfer, and he's doing his thing, and I have nothing but hope that magazine does.
Surfer's not doing anything offensive right now. Surfer is being what Surfer is, which is a big tent. For a lot of different people to come in and a lot of different voices to be shared. I think they're doing a fine job of what they're doing.
Well, I wasn't done talking to Chess. So that was what I wanted to do when I started at Surfer.
Is what they're doing now?
No, is to have you come and you guys to do that, to be able to bring you guys in. And
great,
to,
so what's your problem?
So they do it and immediately, what did you do? What was the second piece that you wrote? It was talking shit about a wave score that a little kid from Spain found in Africa and went on this trip of his absolute fucking lifetime.
Oh, that was
and scored the craziest wave that I've ever seen.
That was shit. Let's be honest.
You're nuts. He definitely could have gotten more waves.
The wave was
shit. I can't wait to go back to that wave with the people that I've met and go surf that wave and get so fucking barreled there.
I cannot believe
you're bringing this up. It's going to be nuts.
That wave, or the one clip he had, the one half clip he had of maybe a barrel somewhere along the line.
You're such a kook. You wouldn't know a wave like that if it hit you in the face, Chaz.
I cannot believe you're bringing this up. This was that wave right there was routinely criticized across all platforms. Yes.
No.
Ask David.
A bunch of people were bummed that he didn't get a better wave. And a bunch of people, because there wasn't epic clips of it, and because it was a kid with no budget traveling around with a filmer that could barely get the footage because the wave was so long.
If there's no clip, it doesn't exist. A.
That's fine.
B. Don't you...
Doesn't that create some mystery about that wave?
No, but you jumping up and down and saying that was the discovery of the century or whatever.
That's not what I said. I said it was the most exciting discovery since Mixed Wave.
You guys went crazy.
No, we didn't. You lit up with exclamation points about it. I wrote a profile about Nacho Gonzalez, who is one of the most incredibly interesting kids who charges around the fucking world, who's loved everywhere he goes.
By you too. You and Nacho became real lovers during that
streak. You should meet that kid. You would love him, dude.
I don't doubt that.
We partied in San Sebastian. We partied in Barcelona.
Don't worry,
it was a dream.
I read about your parties.
Yeah.
So, Ashton, you just mentioned that Chaz wrote five stories about you guys not covering the Quicksilver Billabong merger. In one of those five stories, you replied to Chaz's comment on the article on Beach Grit, and you wrote, quote, "Honestly, I read the interview, put it at the back of the line. We've got some guys on the inside looking into anything interesting instead of just regurgitating the same press release. We'll get to it," end quote. Also, 4 months ago, you published a rumor about this merger.
No, we didn't publish the rumor of it. We published that they had put an offer in.
Okay, so if you
we had
sources on the inside that had confirmed it.
I don't.
My point is, if it was newsworthy before the deal happened, when it was projected to have happened, why isn't it newsworthy now that the deal actually happened?
Oh no, it's totally newsworthy. I think it's one of the biggest stories of the year. And I don't think anybody knows what it is right now. And that's what we're doing right now. We've got people trying to figure out how those two companies are going to come together and what that means for those people in those positions, because it's going to be a huge, huge blast to that, you know, to those companies, I would imagine, just merging different departments together. And yeah, I think that it's uncharted territory, and I think it's worth doing a proper long form investigatory piece. And that's what we're doing. It's going to be, you know, we don't have stories like this that come along that often, right, that you can sink your teeth into and dive into. And I'd rather do that, because you can go and read all any information you want about the business side of it in the Wall Street Journal, who's, that's what they do, is financial reporting on the back ends of corporates, of corporations, which is, you know, I was super interested in the story. I mean,
so Chaz's articles were about you guys not covering the story. And then on day five, Chaz, it seems like your own commentators turned against you.
Sure did.
Duma said, quote, "Dusty Payne just broke his neck and tried to drown so that you'd have something new to chat about. Stop banging on a naggy ex-wife," end quote.
That's perfect right there. You wrote five, six stories?
Yep.
Five. Five or six stories about us not writing about Quicksilver and Billabong.
Shame.
Sure.
Shame. A pox on your
Dusty
house.
Payne. Do you know, you've met Dusty. You wrote about him in your book. You've known Dusty since he was pretty young.
Yeah.
He's a really, really sweet kid.
Yeah.
Fucking built like a goddamn ox.
Yep.
Took away the back door and cracked his skull, broke his jaw.
Real bummer.
You guys didn't fucking write a thing.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because generally when I've written about Dusty Payne, I've made fun of him. And so I thought it was inappropriate for me to write about Dusty's honest.
Why? If what you do isn't actually that important, or it doesn't hurt people's feelings, why wouldn't that be the time to put down that veil and say, oh, I can be a genuine fucking human being right now and say,
about?
Hey, I might make fun of Dusty Payne sometimes, but I love watching him fucking surf, especially when he's coming from behind. And I'm bummed that he's, you know.
It's a bummer. It's a real bummer. I didn't do it, and Derek didn't do it either. So I don't know. There's two halftime writers at Beach Grit versus how big is your staff?
We have
how many full-time staff, and what percentage of your staff is Beach Grit?
let's go right into that.
So that's one of the big gripes is that Stab steals Beach Grit.
No, it's just a funny thing.
So there's a barrier for entry to the surf media that a lot of kids who are coming up, you know, they do not understand. And
sure,
there's two pathways now that are pretty easy, which is to email you and Derek, and you guys will put them up because you guys, you know, you'll take pretty much anything that people will give you if it's halfway decent. And, or you go to the inertia. That's how that stuff happens. And people read their stuff
and
they submit it.
That is absolutely not true.
It is absolutely true.
I don't know what the hell Ashton's talking about. Derek and I get
emailed. And that's what they're doing.
No.
So are you guys paying staff members and like bringing on writers?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
And living wages so that they can be like career surf journalists.
No, but here's the thing.
No, tell me how. I mean, honestly, okay, so what does the Beach Grit business model look like for a writer that wants to go there and make a living as a surf journalist?
Don't fucking make your living as a surf journalist.
No, that's the wrong. That's a bullshit answer.
That is not a bullshit answer.
So if you're saying that we're stealing someone, there has to be some lack of value add to their life that's unfair. We send people on trips.
Fantastic.
We pay them with health insurance, and we pay their salaries. We make sure they get paid
time. They're people who shouldn't be getting paid to write, to be honest. It's 100% true.
You're a 41-year-old man.
Exactly.
Who lives in a house in Cardiff that your rich wife bought you, who's never worked a full-time real job in his entire fucking life. And you're sitting here telling 25-year-old kids who love doing what they're doing.
I'm going to shut your mouth for you, Ashton.
No,
you don't
not.
Shut it right now.
No.
Oh, I'm close to fucking pounding your face, you motherfucker.
No, how do you get off criticizing 25-year-old kids who are trying to make a very modest living?
You think I've never worked a full-time job in my life?
What? I don't know. What have you done?
You just told me I hadn't.
Well, I'm making assumptions the same way that you do, Chaz, and all I know from you is what you tell people, and that's what I take from it.
Well, what did I tell people about my working, Ashton? I never talk about my fucking wife. You mention her one more time on here, I will come over there and pound your fucking face in.
Oh,
and that's the goddamn
come
truth,
on, Chaz.
Ashton, don't mention her name one more time and watch.
I didn't mention her name.
You said, do not say the words your wife to me.
Oh, come on.
Right. Shut the fuck up.
You talk shit about people all day long.
Ashton.
How is that sensitive of a spot for you?
Let me jump in and attempt to detour here. Chaz, in that series of articles on day five, when I said the commenters turned against you, you never wrote a day six. Was that conceding to the commenter's pleas for you to stop?
No, I need to. I need to do day eight today. I bored myself, dude.
Don't threaten me when we're talking about this stuff.
I will fuck you up, Ashton. Don't say one more thing about that. Just shut your mouth right now, Ashton. I'm warning you. That's your. This is your last warning.
Don't talk about with me, dude.
No, seriously.
Oh, fuck you.
Guess.
Do not talk about my wife. I'm not talking about your wife. Do not say the word your wife.
Sit down.
How do you make a living, Jeff?
No, sit down. I'm asking you.
About that. Tell me, if you're so upset about it, then you must then tell me what
it
is.
Hey, I think the point's been made. You made your point. We'll stop it here. Let's move on to the next topic.
What?
I'm warning you.
Hey. It's on the record that he's clearly upset about it. Well, we don't need to continue to dig in if somebody's not comfortable talking about it.
Okay. That's amazing to me. You're a journalist. You ask hard questions.
Hey, it's okay. You made the point. You don't need to continue on. You made the point's been made.
Hey, quick little interjection here. I'm cutting in and recording this about 5 hours after we recorded this episode. I spoke with both Ashton and Chaz after this recording, which we continue, by the way, after that altercation. We all agreed to keep the fight in this episode with nothing cut out of it, but we also agreed that you'd probably be dying for a physical description of what just happened. So I'm just going to give it to you, just very matter-of-factly. They were both sitting in chairs with a small coffee table between them. Chaz got up and lunged onto Ashton, put his hands around Ashton's throat, and ostensibly tried to choke him. Ashton obviously was surprised by the attack, pushed to his feet, and they were both standing in a clinch. There were no punches thrown, and it should be stated that Ashton didn't make an attempt to even fight. But I think that he did protect himself just by kind of pushing Chaz away. I jumped up to separate them. I was able to do so. We all sat back down. I got them to sit down. I sat down and we attempted to continue. So here's that conversation.
Let's get to what we like the best about Beach Grit.
No.
Let's do it.
I apologize if me bringing up your wife was a sore subject.
Shut your mouth.
Totally. Advertising.
Yeah.
Something that's come up a lot so far in this conversation. Chaz, your co-founder at Beach Grit, Derek, wrote a story entitled "Proud, My Board Is Made in Cambodia." In it, he laments that an unnamed Beach Grit advertiser exhaustively delayed payment for past ads and eventually only made a partial cash payment and a partial payment in surfboards. Why not name that advertiser?
I just think in respecting that relationship, what it was, I think I'm so happy to air our dirty laundry, Beach Grit's dirty laundry, but I don't feel that good about airing, like, you know, I don't want to throw anybody else under the bus, and Derek doesn't either, so it's easier in those things just to go unnamed.
Ashton. Chaz wrote a story about Sam telling advertisers not to advertise with Beach Grit. Quote, Stab's co-founder, Sab McIntosh, has spent the last few years quietly and secretly telling the brands that dare advertise on Beach Grit that they are locked out of the vast Surf Stitch empire pre-collapse and various projects post-collapse. Most recently, he called a partner and told him that their relationship was going to be strained if Chaz wasn't put on a leash, end quote. Has this ever happened to your knowledge? And presuming that Chaz's information is correct, is this ethical?
Oh, so, I asked Sam about that, what you guys were talking about, because I don't think you named names in that
speech.
Okay, yeah. So from what I understand, and we'll do the same out of respect for the advertiser for you guys, the person that he's talking about is not an advertiser of Stabs. He's just a old friend of Sam's who Sam's helped out a lot and has a super long relationship with. And that person called Sam asking him a pretty big favor. And Sam, from what I understand, said, well, you've got your boys over there that you advertise with. Go have them do it. Like, that's who you're spending your money with. That's it. Like, if you want to go, if you want, you know, some help.
Yeah.
Go to the people that you're supporting. Like, you know, he's going to go and support the people that are supporting him or that are, you know, at least not trying to support an organization that is very transparently trying to destroy the publication that he built.
Right.
Which...
When you're hiring for a small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role, and there's no faster or effective way than through LinkedIn Jobs.
Your time and capital are precious, and there is a powerful resource that can help you focus on what you're good at and integrate people into your team seamlessly to help grow your business. LinkedIn Jobs has created the tools to find the right professionals for your team efficiently and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. Everyone is already on LinkedIn with their resumes and references, and now LinkedIn has designed a hiring platform to connect you with candidates specifically qualified for the job that you post about. More than a billion professionals meticulously organized to connect people by skill set to help us all advance our position. 2.5 million businesses already use LinkedIn for hiring, and 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. It's that fast, easy to use, and effective. LinkedIn Jobs can help you write job descriptions, filter the right person to you, and give you the tools to help you interview them like a pro. LinkedInJobs.com/surf is where you go to post your job for free. Yes, totally free. That's linkedinjobs.com/surf to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I mean, that's business. And
you, when you talked about the Quiksilver Billabong merger story that you're working on, you referred to it as journalism.
Yeah.
This is a question for both of you. It's been widely accepted that Surf Media has long avoided real journalism because some of the ugly details would negatively affect the very brands that buy advertising. Have either of you ever declined to tell a story because it might jeopardize a relationship of a brand that advertises with you?
No, I've had hard time getting access to stories sometimes just through team managers and stuff like that sometimes. But no, I've never had we've never had a brand come and say you can't write about a subject. I've had we went and saw the Andy documentary last night. And, we can't write about that.
Why not?
Because it's, you sign an NDA until they know what the release schedule is and stuff like that so that they can announce it and then you can write reviews about it.
So that is coming out? That will be released, that film?
It's incredible. I swear it is one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen. It fucking broke my heart and it made me realize just how little you get from stories like what you write when you're throwing people under the bus for whatever it is. And I think that, with the Andy situation, I think it was amazing because you were on the inside of that and you did such an amazing job with that story when I look back in hindsight.
It was an awful job.
No.
Story. Yeah, I did a horrible job.
Wait till you
job.
Watch this movie, man. You will feel so vindicated in that piece that you did for surfing about the family thing and all that stuff.
It was, that. And I guess back to your question of what do I do for money? I'm directing a movie. Second book is finished and going to be published, so that's what I do. I write, and the Beach Grit I don't get money from, right? My wife is amazingly successful.
How did we get back to this? I just asked you a question about it.
Because I'm segueing
into... No, he ended the subject.
I'm segueing into this.
So let's talk about the Lisa Anderson thing. What's going on with that documentary?
I mean, I don't care to talk about that right now, but all to say that... So that's what I do alongside Beach Grit is... books, and same with Derek, right? Derek doesn't take a dime from Beach Grit. He has a bestseller in Australia now, God bless them.
I cannot
them.
Wait to read that thing. Is it going to be available in the States?
No, but...
why not?
I mean, I think you can get it on Kindle or something like that.
It's free on Kindle.
Yeah.
But anyway... Why don't you guys just get a bunch of them to sell them? I bet you guys would sell fucking 500 of them. You put them on the site for sale.
Because you have to know Bob Hawke and whatever. But anyway, I'll back to the question. I've totally spiked stories based on... this is going to be bad for Beach Grit advertising wise, right? Like, I mean, I think it happens across the surf spectrum everywhere. I do it at Beach, or not all the time at Beach Grit, but I've done it for sure at Beach Grit, spiked a story because I thought, damn it,
Yeah, I mean, I don't really deal with advertisers that much, honestly. Like, I don't really, you know, that's not like, because you guys have to handle sort of publishing and
editorial. I mean, it's just, me and Derek, so.
Yeah. Chaz, I don't know that you've ever claimed to be a surf journalist, but I think that's definitely a need in the surf world. We need true journalism. Ashton, is that something you guys are interested in pursuing?
Of course, man. Yeah, I think that you strike a balance that you, you know, the only business model that seems to make sense in 2018 for a surf media organization, for them to be able to do any sort of long form or real rich reporting, is you have to have a robust, you know, financial model. And so we make money from doing non-endemic sponsorships and having beer companies sponsor, you know, tours and stuff, which of course is not what we want to do. But what it does is it gives us the money so that I can, you know, I've been trying to hire actual reporters and writers that can go and do the type of work that I've always wanted to read and that I got to read when there was money in those magazines. When Chaz and Derek were starting, you know, and Sam were doing Stab in the early days, and there was tons of money. And
but okay,
that's how that stuff got funded. You guys,
here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. And also back to, yeah, what I did before. And back to also, like, whoever young surf journalists who should come up and get paid. I don't think people should get paid for their writing until there's a market for them, right? Until they deserve it. I spent the first at least 12 years of my life, I was an English professor, right? Yeah. And I taught English at the college level until...
And you were you were teaching like in the Middle East and stuff? Is that what you were doing over there?
No.
Where were you teaching?
At LA City College. I mean, it was a free...
Oh, really? You were teaching in LA? Like,
fuck yeah. LA City College, USC, Long Beach City College, whatever. That's what you do, right? You're an adjunct professor. And
how old are you?
Graduated with my master's degree 21 to... probably 33, so a good 12 years, right? But that's the thing, is I was writing for Stab this whole time, or most of it. I'd started writing for Vice and then into Stab, and I wasn't getting paid for my writing, or getting paid a little bit from Stab, but I look at kids these days, anytime a kid asks me, you know, I want to be a surf journalist, the best piece of advice I can give is get a job that gives you enough time to write on the side. Because if you write for love, and if you write because you enjoy it, not because you're writing fucking bullshit copy for Oakley, then that's going to both make you a better writer. It's going to give you a better voice. And to me, the voice has value, right? And your voice is valueless if you're just writing horrible things, which I feel that's what you're, you know, I don't know necessarily that any of the writers at Stab are that good to begin with, but they're sure as fuck not getting any better writing there.
Oh, that's such bullshit. It's so funny. You're the only that your opinion is not shared by all the other people whose opinions that I respect and who I look up to.
Great,
and most of whom are your friends and colleagues and who do not have the same fucking weird vitriolic tinted lenses that you look through Stab. I mean, how much time do you spend just like contemptuously reading Stab magazine?
I mean, I go to Stab probably 3 or 4 times a day just to see what you guys are doing, but it's never with contempt until something comes up that's funny, and then it's easy for me to tee off on. That's, I mean, my, I go every day. I don't go to the internet anymore, unfortunately.
So what pieces that, so what type of work would you like to see on Stab that you're not seeing?
I wouldn't like me and Derek to kick you guys' asses every day on normal stuff. I mean,
like
on the day-to-day stuff. Like, okay, I think...
WSL breaks, the wave pool you were wrong on. What other stuff are you missing?
I'm just talking your day-to-day content.
That's day-to-day content. What do you mean? Up to the minute news, we beat everybody.
What are you talking about?
We have the best relationships and sources within any of that landscape, and we get the stories before you guys do. Do
Fantastic.
Not even pretend like you don't.
I'll pretend like you don't, because it's true. You guys beat us sometimes, sure, but sometimes we beat you.
Sure, you guys beat us, absolutely, but do not say that we beat you on the daily. Give me a break. And also, think about the difference about what we do. We put up 8 stories a day with videos, with photos. We pay photographers. We pay videographers. We pay people to make things. And I understand that that's hard to like see someone doing, but you and Derek don't get to do that. And that's fine. What you guys get to do is to go on there and spout nonsense and to cut and paste press releases, because that's what you guys have access to with what you guys are doing. It's isolating. And so you're right. All you have to do is to foster this voice.
Okay, so let's talk real quick about time on site, can we? And bounce rate. Stab has a 70% bounce rate, meaning
I don't know any of this stuff.
So I'll tell you. 7 out of 10 people who go to Stab leave before they click on anything. The time on Stab is it's true. This is we'll post this on. We could post a similar web on Surf Splendor podcast. So 7 and 10 leave Stab before they click on anything.
Where do you get this information?
Similar web.
Similar web.
Yeah.
Similarweb.com. So you type in two separate web addresses and they give you the stats on.
And you can compare. The time on Stab is a little over a minute. Time spent. Time on Beach Grid is 6 minutes. The time spent, or so it's you guys' boundaries.
I love this bullshit.
It's true. So it's Beach Grid has a 30% bounce rate. Stab has a 70% bounce rate. Stab time on site 1 minute. Beach Grid 6 minutes. Right, and so people aren't actually engaging.
Right. None of this stuff means anything to me until you show me some shred of evidence.
Well, okay, we can pull up Similarweb. You'll see it. But what I'm saying is, your awesome engaging stuff that you're talking about right now is not actually engaging anybody. People are going and leaving before they click on.
That's really something for Stab to discuss with their advertisers directly. Ashton, have your advertisers or have Chaz's negative articles about Stab ever negatively affected your relationship with advertisers?
No.
How do you know? You said you're not on that side. You just said you don't know what happens on the advertising side.
No, I asked Sam because I always wonder because I'm new to this. I don't know how this stuff works as far as like what is effective with dealing with this stuff, you know? Mm. My initial inclination is whenever, you know, like, is to engage with you because I know you and I like talking shit with you.
So why don't you engage though? Why does Stab and the inertia, I know why the inertia does, but why does Stab, why is the...
Because there's no upside to it. Because you don't want a genuine engagement because you're not trying to actually foster a conversation. You're trying to destroy Stab. Why would that be an engaging thing? That's not fun.
That's fun for me.
That's fine. That's why. Because I don't give a shit what's fun for you, Chaz. I spend my day doing the work that I want to do.
Uh-huh. But the work is, the work you do.
Shut the fuck up, Chaz. You literally...
Nobody's reading the work you do first.
That's not true, dude. We have a massive loyal readership that come back every day and engage with us. Mm-hmm. Our commenters, who are also commenters on your site, have God given me comments. Nothing Ooh. But positive reinforcement about the stuff that we've done, even in the most backhanded, fucking insulting, fun ways, dude.
Can we segue Valley into
and Scorn, stats. The turnaround on Stab's an 8.5.
This is actually my next topic in my notes. It's not prompted by Chaz, but Stab's been known to close the comment section on certain articles. Commenter Pacific North Pest wrote, quote, "The comments were off for Chloe's wedding, but they were on for the North Shore beating murder. In that case, the commenters on Stab were predictably awful, tripping over each other in a race for the funniest joke about a mom beaten to death in front of her 8-year-old daughter. Basically, not one response with even a shred of humanity. Did that article not have the right sponsors? Does Stab believe that only the connected and elite deserve dignity? Ashton, what's the policy on the comment on closing the comment section?"
That is an amazing critique. No, it's absolutely true. The comment section from time to time is like one of the most frustrating things that I ever have to deal with. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that requires so much time. And I wish that I had more time to sit in there. We do have some people in there moderating that I think, you know, we need to do a better job of incentivizing to spend more time in there. And I'm really, you know, excited about trying to figure out how to work on that stuff. Cause it's part of the culture that was in there when I got there. And I've been, you know, doing as much time in there as I can.
But why do you shut them off for some, what necessitates?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, you know, it's treated as a privilege instead of a right, you know, like anonymous commenting is not a right. It's a privilege. You guys get to, you know, the people get, they sit on there and that's what they do. And that's fine. That's how we're able to run a business. And it's not a drastic loss to the comment section. They can go and comment on those pieces in other comments.
No, but
the point is that if it's a 15-year-old kid or it's whatever, they don't have to go on there and read all this asinine, horrific stuff sometimes where you're like, man, it might not be that offensive or politically correct might not matter to me or to you. And it doesn't bother me, but I have to think about kids, man. Like the reason that I wanted to do this is because I was a 17-year-old kid looking at surf magazines, and I want to feel like a 17-year-old girl can go on there and not feel like it's like this super threatening fucking environment.
What's the policy for closing the comment section? Which articles do you decide to close the comment section?
So in hindsight, honestly, that murder story should have been closed. That was a massive mistake to leave that one open. But honestly, it's just it's one of those things where you never know where a conversation's going to head south. You know, in a lot of other sort of tragic things, it's, you know, you get these sort of supportive things or these people bring up subjects. And we have people that write these like amazing pieces about whatever, living in Mexico or whatever, that, you know, there's, when there's an earthquake or whatever, we have, you know, Baldy on the North Shore talking about, you know, his experience living in Mexico and the fortitude of the Mexican people. And, you know, there are these beautiful moments that happen in the comment section, which is why I love it. But yeah, of course, it's an anonymous comment section, and it's, they're ripe with pitfalls, and
but it's,
they're
it's,
a nightmare.
Hey, it's not anonymous anymore, right? It's everybody's hosted by Discuss. And so you, whether or not your avatar is your real name, I mean, I think to call it anonymous trolls anymore is, that ship has sailed long ago. It's not an anonymous comments.
Of course it is. Yeah, totally. I mean, well, with
what are you talking about? It's not anonymous.
No, but it's anonymous to the it's anonymous to the people that read the site.
No, because it's not anonymous. Those voices, it may not be their actual Christian God-given name, their avatar, but people develop avatars, and their avatars are, you know, that's them.
You're saying that becomes their identity.
Sure,
totally. And some of those identities are they're built upon ugliness.
Sure, I get that.
And cruelty and all that stuff. And that's part of the culture of it, which is, that's the culture of internet trolling and all that stuff.
But to me, Stabs, I think again,
we were talking about one of the things that I love about Beach Grit. Dude, I can't tell you how much I love your guys' comment section.
Yeah, but
it's because you guys have you and Derek have the amazing fortune of having the time to sit in there and write in there.
It's
your readers are so lucky that you guys are in there. It's such a unique experience being able to go in there and talk to you guys and have you guys engage with them.
I'll tell you, Derek,
I'm so jealous of it. I really am.
Because what are you so busy with? A, but B,
I'm busy running a magazine that pays the salaries of 12 people in two continents. What are you busy doing?
I'm busy raising a kid, writing Beach Grit, finishing book, and editing movie.
Rad.
Maybe you should spend
more time with your kid.
Oh, fuck you, Ashton.
No,
that's number two.
You're talking about my time.
Hey, no more kid out of your mouth either, okay? Wife and kid are off. Have you heard me talk about your personal life yet?
No, but you can. So my personal life's in shambles right now, Ashton, because of this job.
Okay, enough. But I think why Beach Grit's comment section is good is because we don't have a paternalistic attitude toward the commenters. There's no hierarchy. A Beach Grit is a community. Right?
Totally.
Stab, I feel, is very much not a community. There's this hierarchical thing of what the article is, and then you guys pulling the levers, even the way you talked about the people who comment on Stab today, right? I would never talk about Beach Grit commenters that way. Beach Grit commenters are Beach Grit. It's one community. We would never shut the comments off on a story because we have to worry about what they
say,
right?
Because you guys don't have anything to lose. That's fine. You guys have the great fortune of doing that. That's a wonderful feature of your guys' site.
Our great fortune is that we don't have a ton of advertisers.
Absolutely. And so it limits what you guys can do. And that is the sacrifice that you guys make. You guys have a really loyal readership that's small and really devoted.
It's radical. It is very cool to see.
And I know that the advertisers that you guys are getting, the non-endemic stuff that you guys are getting, the people that are going on there and spending time, those non-endemic sponsorships you guys are getting, they're getting such a bang for their buck. I promise you, what you guys are doing with that stuff is one of the best things that you guys have going for you.
We're better than Stab, definitely at that. So, but the real truth is, A, whatever this mystical readership that you have doesn't exist. Beach Grit's readership is roughly similar to Stab's readership in terms of people who actually stay and read stuff.
There's so many modifiers there that
there's not so many modifiers.
Qualify just some outlandish statement based on absolutely nothing, but that's fine, Chad.
Well, but you'll see it on SimilarWeb, which will go onto the Surf Splendor website. But anyway, I think that Beach Grit, one thing Beach Grit is honest and it's true.
How can you say that after all the things that you just said, that you have a genuine agenda?
Totally.
To destroy a media organization.
How can that
be honest and true? What is honest and true about that?
It's honest because I admitted it and true because I said it. That's how I'm feeling. That's what does honesty and truth mean to you?
What is it like being a relativist in every facet of your life?
That's pretty awesome. Except I'm not in every aspect of my life.
So there's certain parts where you're not, just this.
Oh, no. And what am I being relative about here? I'm saying that Stab sucks.
That is relativism.
I'm saying it sucks and I write it
every
day.
That's fine. You can think that Stab sucks, Chaz. I don't think that you actually think that. I think that you just want to feel like you've destroyed something because you have some personal fucking slight. I don't know where it came from, especially with me. Like the last text that I sent you before you wrote that thing about Sam, which I had no idea about, was to say, "Hey man, I'm really glad that you're okay. I cannot believe that you were in Las Vegas with your beautiful family." Yeah. That's the last thing that I said to you. I don't have any ill will towards Beach Grit. I've always tried to prop it up to the detriment of my career, to the suspicion that I was the insider always with any story that Jimmy or any of those guys got involved in at the Enthusiast Network. I was always sticking up for you, dude. Mm-hmm. No matter how ugly it got, I always said, you know what? He's just having fun. He doesn't realize. Even when people were like losing sleep at night when they should be spending time with their kids who were sick in the hospital, I had to sit there and go, it's cool. You shouldn't take it personally. Yeah. It's just Chaz.
Okay.
And I'm here because now I know what it feels like. And I hope you know that it isn't just fun. It might be fun for you, but it does actually hurt people. And if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But that's not something that I'm willing to engage with. If you want to argue with me about stuff and be the person that I thought you were when I emailed you to want to write for Beach Grit because I thought what you guys were doing was noble, then I'm all ears, dude. The door's open. We're at 2808 Venice Boulevard, 50 hours a week. Sam's there. I'm there. Come and talk to us. That's it.
It's fantastic.
Let's end it there.
No. I got more.
No, I have to go.
Come on, dude.
Absolutely not.
Can you give me 5 minutes?
Yeah, you said you had to be gone at 10:45.
I don't know.
11:45.
Oh.
Can you give me 5 minutes?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I'll wrap it up. I just want to hold you guys accountable for things that you've told me versus actions that are divergent from what you've told me. So, Chaz, you once told me that Beach Grit, no matter how embarrassing, never removes an article. About a month ago, Derek posted an interview with Maurice Cole telling about going from rags to riches and then back to rags, and the article was deleted within 24 hours. Why?
That was a big snafu of Derek had written that for Surface Journal and it hadn't come out yet, and Derek had thought it had been published already, and so printed the article and then got an upset email from Surface Journal. So that's why that got...
Will it be republished?
For sure, yeah. It'll be in the journal, and then as soon as it's run in the journal, then we'll put it back up.
Couple of closing statements. Ashton, how would you like to see Stab Mag improved?
I'd like to see us just get a lot more organized. I'm like a pretty scattered mess right now, just in my personal life, just moving and getting things, you know, in order, taking over the job. It was sort of a sudden thing. I want to see us focus on massive, big creative projects. We're doing a lot more board design stuff. I talked to you about this one. We've got 12 shapers making boards for the most talented surfer, in my mind, on the planet. Dave Parmenter and Sean Stussy and Matt Parker from Album, who I know has made you an ASIM that you're psyched on.
Good guy, man.
Yeah, I have to go meet him after this to grab these boards. Yeah, Tyler Warren and all these other shapers who I think are just overdue attention from a mainstream media organization. And I think that the board design stuff is so, so interesting to me. I'm working on what I think is the biggest story in like sort of the more sad and heartbreaking sides of surfing that I'm excited to write this year. That's going to take a lot of hard and long reporting. I'm working on it with Rory and Morgan. We're all sharing a byline on a story that I'm really excited about. And I'm excited to make some magazines.
Physical magazines?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's spiked. You're done.
No.
It's on hold.
What do you mean?
I hate to inform you.
You don't know anything, Chaz. I sit there with it. You're a know-nothing person when it comes to this stuff. No, we're absolutely printing magazines. That's part of why I'm here.
The print run has been paused.
No, you don't know anything. Okay. The print the print run was paused when Surf Stitch sold the company back to Sam. Mm-mm. Totally, that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
And he hired me to come back and to launch, you know, to relaunch all of this.
Yeah. Chaz, how would you like to see Beach Grit improve?
Beach Grit needs to improve in one, in every single way you possibly, or it possibly can be improved. We need new, you know, way more original content, original video. We need to do a lot better job of doing longer form stories that actually are meaningful. We have to do a better job of I feel that Beach Grit is not even close to a one-stop shop in terms of, you know, you can't just go to Beach Grit and get everything that you need for the day in the surf world. And I would like it, not that I only want people to go to Beach Grit, but I would like Beach Grit to be filled out, right? To have a more robust offering other than just funny, snarky stuff.
What's the best part about Stab?
I think Stab does really good in big projects, like Stab in the Dark, I think is pretty phenomenal. I think the way the doc was rolled out was, you know, I didn't think it was that interesting, but they smoked it on, you know, getting that thing on everywhere, which was, I think Stab does good in high concept stuff. And that's, I think that's the only place they do good in.
Ashton, what's the best part about Beach Crit?
Derek Riley, the interviews that you guys do with Matt Warshaw, fuck Steve Shearer. I'm coming for that guy.
I mean, you tried.
What's that?
You already tried.
Oh,
it failed.
I would love for that guy to write for us. I know. I'm so stoked that you guys have that guy. And if you can keep him, dude, I go to that site every time that he publishes something, and I'm always jealous of it. There's no one that can write like that guy when it comes to contest raps. Jazz. If I could get him or Doherty, I would feel like I was like crushing it. But yeah. I'm going to tell everyone to keep an eye on Mike. Mike Ciramella. And we're going to put him on the QS this year.
Okay.
Chaz, Stab's existence generates a large percentage of content for Beach Grit.
Totally.
Is Stab's existence a net gain for the surf community at large?
I think it should be. I think Stab, I think Stab's history and what Stab has been totally awesome. You know, like, I love that Stab exists. I think that it's still, unfortunately, drafting off Derek Riley's voice from 10 years ago, which is kind of embarrassing when you look back and see, you know, just the tone of it is still Derek circa, you know, whatever, 10, 20, 2006. Yeah, and so I think it's unfortunate. I think Stab should be a lot better than it is, or could be a lot better than it is.
I'll take it as a challenge.
For the surf.
And I'll challenge you. I'm going to write a story this year that I'm going to be more proud of than anything I've ever written, and I would love to see you do the same thing. Not as a competition, but just to bring the best out of each other, because if that's not the point of this, then I don't fucking give a shit.
To write the best you can on the surf website?
No, to write the best story you can about this stuff, Chaz.
About what stuff?
About surfing.
I'm doing the best I can every day. This is the best I can do, unfortunately.
Ashton, for the surf community at large, does Beach Grit have value and accommodate a market need?
Absolutely. 100%. I wouldn't have... I'm so grateful to it for the opportunity that I had when I started. I think that the true spirit of it has so much value, and it's so fun. And when it's genuine and it's honest, I think that it's one of the most entertaining sites in surfing that's ever existed.
I don't understand what you mean by genuine and honest. That's the one thing it always is genuine and honest.
No, it's disingenuous and dishonest sometimes.
How about
and
what?
And that's about the stuff that we just talked about. We just had a whole conversation about it.
I don't understand. I say what I feel and then I write what I feel. I don't understand how that's, even if what I feel is wrong, how is that disingenuous or dishonest?
Because you know that it's wrong.
How do I know? I don't know what's wrong.
Of course you do.
No, when I feel it, I feel it.
Okay.
I'm going to allow you guys 2 minutes each for a closing statement. Chaz, do you have anything you'd like to say before we go out?
You know, I mean, yeah, I think that surf media in general, I don't know how it thinks that it gets to belong in a bubble that doesn't touch anything else, right? Like, in my estimation, surf media treats itself different from all other medias. The lack of engagement between, you know, surf media, whatever, like magazines or websites, is fairly ridiculous.
What are examples outside of surf media that you like would sort of point to as examples of stuff that you like, where it's sort of like
every single
Talmudic
day,
argumentative?
Every single day, the Post and the New York Times are going back and forth and both referencing each other and challenging each other's, you know, and when one does something awesome.
Yeah, totally. But both those things do the same thing. But we don't do the same thing.
We're in surf media. Well, I don't know. What do you think you're in?
Like, we produce surf films, and we do, you know, we make stuff every day that's like, you know, we hire filmmakers to make art.
I don't understand how...
You guys don't do that. You guys run a site where it's just you guys writing, and that's what's rad about it. But don't conflate what it is.
What are you saying? Well, I mean, I don't understand what you're talking about. Are you not the same as Surfrider? I mean, I'm sorry, as Surfline or as Surfer? I mean,
no, I don't think that we're the same as Surfline at all.
Oh, I guess.
And I would reference Surfline if I had a surf forecast to talk about.
I guess I put surf media as surf media. If you're writing about surfing,
without the editorial like embargo that Stab has on Beach Grit from the relationship that you have with, you know, there's obviously it's not like an organic relationship between Stab and Beach Grit. You know what I mean?
What's the editorial embargo?
Well, that we just don't write about you guys. You know, like that was that's been their stance since before I got there. You know, you don't talk about Beach Grit. Which is a smart editorial stance.
No, it's a pussy
editorial. I didn't know there was actually a stated embargo.
I didn't know that either, that it was official.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no reason to, I mean, like, they just don't, it's like not worth it to them. And I completely respect that. No, absolutely not. It doesn't serve them any good because it's like a barking chihuahua, you know what I mean? And I'm here because, you know, I have I have respect enough for our relationship to come and talk to you about this instead of this passive aggressive thing. But yeah, you guys don't do the same thing. We go out and we make work. We make surf films and we send people on trips and we hire photographers to go and shoot stuff and we pay people to do these things every day. Mm. It's very different, Chaz. And did you ever work on staff like in the office at Surfing or at when you were at Stab, or were you always freelance?
No, I was in the office at Stab and in the office one day a week at Surfing.
Yeah.
Ashton, you have 2 minutes for a closing statement. Doesn't have to be about Chaz or Beach Grit or just anything. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I think that I hope that everyone goes and sees the Andy Irons documentary when it comes out. It made me really nostalgic for a period of time where I was a lot less cynical and jaded about the surf industry and about the surf world. And it gave me a different look at a period of time that I feel like people haven't really come back from. That I think will be a really, really remarkable sort of historical moment for surf media when that movie comes out. That I'm just fucking so psyched to be doing this job and to be working with the guys that I work with and to be working with Sam and Morgan Williamson and Michael and Morgan Mawson and, you know, Kevin Jansen
Documentary. There's the other Beach Grit, Morgan. That's who, not Williamson. Yeah.
Oh,
Mawson is who you're thinking of.
Yeah. I'm really grateful. I'm very grateful for the position that I'm in. It's a dream. It's an absolute fucking dream job. I love it more than anything. I'm so happy to go to work every day. I'm so thankful for all of the fucking talented people that have emailed me and shown up since I took over the job to want to work with Stab because they see the opportunity to make stuff that's beautiful and meaningful and real and that you can get behind and feel good about on top of doing the stuff that's hard and honest and day-to-day. And I'm very proud to do it.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Do you think that Zach Weisberg would sit in this room?
I hope so.
You think you can get him in?
Zach would love it.
All right, cool.
Because
he won't. I already asked him. If you get him, I already asked him.
All right, that concludes Surf Media Face-Off 2018. Thank you, gentlemen, both. Ashton Goggins from Stab Mag and Chaz Smith from Beach Grit. Most importantly, thank you to Surf Rider Foundation for hosting the arena today. Surfrider.org. Definitely get involved. Support the cause. Become a member. $25 a year. SurfSplendorPodcast.com for everything that we discussed in this episode. Thanks for joining us.
Any confrontation.
Yeah.
Confrontation?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
This is going to be confrontational.
Why aren't the mics closer then?
Well, get on it, dude.
Yeah. Oh, it's closer to each other? Like, he put a table.
Within reach.
This table is not arranged this way. When I came in, I made a barrier between you guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I'm late.
You should be.
No, yeah.
I just signed a lease on a new Venice adjacent apartment.
I mean, we're driving from Venice adjacent to here, driving from Mar Vista to.
Yeah.
San Clemente ain't fun.
It's
from Gardena, from Westchester. I'm running out of places to put your office. It's a real bummer. Okay, yes. Good.
Scalesy's got some South Bay locations.
I mean, I was just trying. I mean, I moved away from Venice adjacent now to South Bay, basically, which gives me more possibilities.
Well, I would think that it'd be easier to make fun of us for being. We're trying to be in Venice.
In Venice?
Venice adjacent is the best of all the jokes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, totally.
Because Gardena isn't even close.
No, I know. I know.
Venice adjacent obviously has the implication that Venice is super
cool. There's a couple in there, though, like Lawndale and Hawthorne and stuff, which are really funny.
Those are funny in and of themselves, even without the Venice reference.
Man, I drove down listening to your podcast with Jamie.
Oh,
So good, man.
Thank you.
That was like, that is that probably the most produced one that you've done yet?
Yeah.
Like, is that the sort of model that you're shooting for?
Yeah. So,
so good, man.
Jamie delivered in that piece too.
Oh.
Like, he actually opened up and shared all the important stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the strength of it.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, I saw the outline. I didn't prepare an opening monologue, but we can start with that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll,
so
are we live?
We're live, but I'll cut some of this.
Oh, whatever.
So I'll...
But yeah, so anyhow, I was driving down listening to your podcast with Jamie. And it was making me, you know, because I'm new to all of this, you know. Like, Chaz, you know, you were one of the first guys I reached out to when we started doing it. Like, when I started doing it, like, 3 or 4 years ago. And yeah, listening to that podcast and... You know, you have these ideas about what it means to be a surf writer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To do this stuff. And for me, Jamie was always one of those stars to steer by. You were for a while, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, not anymore.
You know, Lewis, Bill Finnegan, these guys who I've been able to, you know, have as like a counsel, you know? And I, you know, I enjoyed your counsel for quite some time.
That's you can take it if you need to.
No.
Let's do this thing.
By the way, yeah, Chaz has to get out of here at 10:45. But
oh yeah,
go ahead if you had something to say. Not 10:45. 11:45.
Yeah.
No, and you know, I was thinking about one of the proudest moments of my entire career was sending Jamie Brissick to New York City to interview Raymond Pettibon for the cover of the Big Issue of Surfer, and like that's the kind of stuff that I've been so excited to do. And it was the kind of stuff that I would talk to Chaz about all the time. You know, when I came down to Surfer, I came down, went and got coffee with Jamie as I was driving down to San Francisco and had all these like well wishes. And it was like, I was so excited about all the, like, it was just like positivity. And then when I showed up at Surfer, I had to like shirk this dark, like, halo around me from having started at Beach Grit and having a relationship
oh, really?
With Chaz. Yeah.
I'm a troublemaker. I'm a troublebreaker.
Well, it was hilarious because I found what you did back then fairly.
See, but now you
benign.
Know. Now you know how I.
Oh, I felt the forks. and I was thinking about the morning that the wave pool got dropped. I was sitting getting coffee with you. I had just started at Surfer, and I was trying to figure out a way to get you in the fold at Surfer.
Yeah.
Because I thought that it would be valuable. You know,
yeah.
I thought that. Derek started the hot seat. You could bring him in, do it. You thought
totally.
What you guys were doing was great. I almost got fired for that.
See, but look at me. All you had to do was leave. And then I got to swoop right into Surfer, no problem.
Yeah.
It's easy. It's easy.
Totally.
All you have to do is apologize when you're wrong.
So, do you think you were wrong?
I think I was wrong with the way I treated Todd, yeah. I think I hammered Todd without having met Todd.
Yeah.
Which was not cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Don't you feel like that's sort of what people, like, that's sort of the main criticism leveled at you most of the time, right?
Sure, and I'm happy to continue to make fun of everyone in the world without meeting them. But once I meet them, then I reassess if I was right or wrong. And I really like Todd.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I found Todd to be...
I feel like the best stuff that I've ever gotten from you is the stuff from you having deep and personal knowledge of people. Not these like surface level.
Is that true? That's not true.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is.
Let's scoot
your chair up onto the mic.
Let's start from.
Because if you're looking at Chaz, I want your voice to be hitting.
Yeah, yeah.
Lightly, so maybe scoot it like a foot this way.
Let's start from the top too.
Yeah.
David, lead us in.
Yeah, I'll lead you. I'll still keep some of this stuff.
Sure.
All right, one final postscript after that epilogue. Ashton was referencing Jamie Brissick right there. He was listening to the Jamie Brissick episode and he was driving to this meeting. If you've not listened to this show before, we have a number of different formats under this network, a number of different shows under the network. He was referencing an episode called Wax On. Wax On is long form interviews with different surf luminaries. Last week's episode was with noted surf writer Jamie Brissick. So if you'd like to hear that episode, surfsplendorpodcast.com is where you find it. We have an archive of 200 past episodes, and you can listen to them all for free there. You can also download the show on iTunes, any major podcasting app. I have another show called Spit, which is available on a different podcast feed. Just search Spit Surf in your podcast app or spitpodcast.com. It's basically a news recap covering all of the latest surf industry news, WSL events, things like that, co-hosted with Scott Bass. So check those out. And then we also do a series of interviews with surfboard shapers, Shaping Surfing, which you can also get on the Surf Splendor feed. Everybody from Eric Arakawa to Tom Parrish to Mickey Munoz to Ryan Lovelace, Matt Parker, all sorts of surfboard shapers. So check out the entire network of shows. It's all on surfsplendorpodcast.com and spitpodcast.com. You can also support the show in three ways. Share it with friends. You can make a financial donation on the website, or you can also sign up for a Fin subscription on fanatic.com. Use promo code podcast. By using that promo code, you will get your first month for free. It's $10 a month, and you get unlimited access to every fin manufactured by FCS, Futures, and a number of other large brands. It's a really, really awesome program. They ship them to your house with a paid-for return envelope. It's just like the Netflix DVD program. Use them as long as you want, return them whenever you want, and they'll ship you the next set of fins off your queue. Fanatic.com, promo code podcast. Support this show by supporting that awesome brand, and then you'll benefit from the subscription. It's super, super cool. All right. Thanks for listening to today's show. If you enjoyed it, share it with a friend. I'll be back next week with an all-new episode. Thanks.